proposing that the city of Spokane Valley issue a proclamation stating that our city is a Second Amendment sanctuary city.
Welcome to the fire. Welcome to the fire.
Hello, Christian patriots. Welcome to Church and State, where we strive to plug you into the pew and plug you into politics. I am Pastor Gabe, and with me most of the time is Caleb Collier. He is on vacation this week, but we have another powerful segment. You're going to hear part two of the adventures of Rob Graham and Christina Phipps. Now, yesterday we were talking about this beautiful ring story. Every time Christine was talking and saying the words, being engaged, you need your young people to be engaged, you know, to be actually paying attention and to be going, rather than going through the emotions, actually engaged. And every time I saw her say that, I kept seeing Jesus put a ring on her finger and literally becoming engaged to her. So she actually has a story behind this. We're going to get to that in a second. But first, please go to our website, churchandstate.media. Go there right now, run there. I'm very excited to tell you, there's past episodes. We've had crazy people in the recent lineup of people. Jacob Chansley, just to highlight one of them, the what we would call QAnon shaman. He is not QAnon by any means. That was a label put on him. If you were to go back and to listen, we actually talked about angels, demons, Nephilim. We also had, scroll down. Go back. I want to talk about Seth Gruber of the White Rose Resistance, talking about the issue of abortion, how it is something that we have yet to actually really, really, really beat, even though you have seen the states get the authority from our United States government. Roe v. Wade was turned back to the states. We still have not defeated this demon called abortion. So listen to that episode. Please share it. Also, I want to encourage you, go check out one of our sponsors. Go check out Beverly Hills Precious Metals. .com or bh-pm.com. We talk about it on the regular. Here's why. Robert Kiyosaki, the Rich Dad Poor Dad, recently just said we can expect to see the S&P drop by 70%. That means your hard-earned dollars, all of your retirement, those of you who are set up to retire, we've seen people in the past during, you know, the 2008 financial crisis, we saw little old people having to take side jobs at Walmart. You know what? You can mock those people, but they had no idea what was coming. Now, I have, as a watchman, told you numerous times, the blood is off my hands. We know what's coming. Clay Clark and the whole entire team, Andrew Sorcini, General Flynn, we've been talking about this. We don't want your money. We actually want to protect your money. And one of those ways you can protect your money is physical gold and silver. If you don't have 20% of your whole net worth, cars, dogs, properties, all your bank accounts, if you don't have, take that number, whatever it is, by 20%, if you don't have 20% of physical gold and silver, you may be in a serious problem. Now, my friend Rob in Alaska, I guarantee you, he has other things other than gold. He probably has bullets, beans. He probably has some trapping lines. He probably has some moonshine. Rob, can you from Alaska? There's one thing that people know in Alaska is how to barter. So, are you there?
Yes, we're here.
Yeah. So like everyone wants gold and silver, but the reality is too, you need bullets, you need beans, you need trap lines, you need skins, you need salmon, you need all that stuff. You need gas. Oh my gosh. Gasoline is like gold in Alaska. It's like, how much is gasoline a gallon right now where you're at?
Actually, it actually was quite surprising, Gabe, because I was just down at Eden Church. It used to be the Seattle Revival Center in Seattle, preaching about a month ago. And you guys are paying more for gas than we are up here.
Don't right you tell me that, Jay Inslee.
More like four something. It's four.
Did it go back up? I think it's $3.30 a gallon.
That's,
she doesn't have to pay for gas anymore.
No, husband,
that's less than what we're paying in Spokane. We're up in the 370s right now. If you go to Idaho, like I drive, I'm on the Idaho border. I drive into Idaho to save about 75 cents a gallon. So yeah. That's not surprising whatsoever. We're in a very liberal state. Washington has this crazy green tax on every gallon of gas. Tell me, how much is a gallon of milk?
That's a bit more. So Depending. So just regular whole milk right now is about $5.50, $6.
Okay.
But if you are lactose intolerant or anything, that's about $7 for one of those small little, like, couple liter bottles or something.
And if you're from Alaska, you just go milk a moose and it's free.
Right. I'll let you milk the moose.
Yeah. Yeah, good luck if you survive. Holy cow, those things are mean. Like, I drove through the Alcan. I think I told you this. And when I was driving through the Alcan, first of all, when I got to Anchorage, Alaska, my flight, I pulled into a Walmart and I saw a moose walking through the parking lot and I about lost it. I was like, oh my gosh, I videoed that. And all the regulars were like looking at me like, what are you videoing? That's not even special. So I found out very quickly, moose is kind of like, I don't know. Like, it's like the run of the mill animal. It's not even a big deal when you see one. And in fact, on the Alcan, when I was driving it going 70 miles an hour on mushy tundra, that was very dangerous just driving. I found myself, I almost hit 3 moose. So finally I got behind a trucker who has a massive grill guard on his truck because there was such a high probability of me hitting a moose. I finally just got behind a truck and just followed him. So yeah, you guys have, is moose like the national animal food? And like, is there any kind of like connection to the moose?
Yeah. I mean, it kind of depends on where you're at. Here in the interior. Absolutely. I mean, that's the only thing that my family eat. In fact, last night we had a staff meeting and I smoked up a couple moose briskets at our staff meeting. But here in the interior, we eat moose. The further south that you go, it's more seafood and salmon. The further north that you go, it's more caribou and whale or seal.
Ooh, okay. Okay, Christina, what out of all of those animals, which one tastes the best?
I love the moose because it's not a gamey animal at all. And the only thing is you need to know how to cook it right.
Yes.
So that is a skill that the older women here pass on to us younger generation of how
that's
to cook
awesome.
Moose. Right.
So during DTS, you can actually learn how to cook moose. Is that fair enough? Could somebody learn how to cook moose?
I'm sure that they'll learn.
Okay. So, okay. Well, our listeners left off our last episode yesterday. We were talking about how I was seeing every time you use the word engaged, as far as engaged in like civics or engaged in life or engaged in schoolwork. I saw Christ every time you say that word, bend down and put a ring on your finger. Now you were sharing with us a story. Can you leave off right there?
Yeah. So I know I was talking about before. So, this way. So the Lord literally did put a ring on my finger. He, like I had said, I was back in Kona, Hawaii, and it was actually the COVID year. And I was there staffing, and I had gone down, seen this ring. And during that time, the Lord was going through this healing process of him being like my everything. And a lot of times for a young girl, that's kind of happens when you get married or get engaged, is he almost in a way becomes your everything. And so when the Lord was doing that in my life, I'd seen this ring and I was like, all right, Lord, if it's here by the time, you know, either leave for outreach or, you know, whatever happens, I'm going to take it. And so I go down and it's like the day we're getting ready to fly out. And we had just been locked in our rooms for over a week, literally room by room, locked in there. And I'd gone down right as we were getting ready to go and it was still there and I put it on my finger and it was an exact fit.
Wow.
And I remember like sitting there with the Lord and I'm just like, almost like, I don't know if you've ever had the experience where like, I'm so in awe and I don't even know how to explain the emotions I'm feeling right now. And it's just like the Lord, I don't think he truly, that I truly grasped what he was doing in that moment until looking later on in my life. Because like I'd said before, sometimes when you get engaged or married, your husband becomes like every decision you make revolves around, okay, how is this going to be for the family? And what the Lord was doing in my life at that point is he was saying, I need to be your all in every aspect of your life. I need to be fully encapsulating you. And that's literally what abiding means. Abiding Amen. Means I'm fully encapsulated by him. And that's exactly what he was doing. And the whole aspect, and I think a lot of the female generation, because, you know, that's what's on my heart is young women.
I think so much of our heart and our value is who am I actually worth anything?
Right.
Am I worth anything to anybody? And that was one of the things the Lord actually honed in on, was my worth comes fully and from him.
Come on.
And if it doesn't, like don't get me wrong, I love my husband. Like, you know, we've been married 6 months, like I said, I love my husband, but he was not the complete fulfillment in my life. And he can never be. He can never be my full source of love, my full source of devotion or adoration. If it's not coming from Christ, it's not fully and
actually. Yes. That is so good.
What he was doing in my life through YMMDTS.
Tell me one more time. I'm still not connecting. How did you find the ring? Like, what was it on? You said a board or what?
Yes. Yeah, so in laundry room. So as Rob had mentioned in the last episode, Kona has like thousands of people that are on the base. And so you have these lovely laundry rooms, which has three washers, three dryers that takes care of about 50 people. So there's a lot of socks and things that you find there. And so they have this lost and found board. And actually, I had found this ring in one of the dryer lint holder things.
Right.
And it's actually silver. Like, so I looked it under a microscope. And, well, it's actually white gold. So that's what it is. It's white gold. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is somebody's, you know, like band for a wedding or engagement. I don't even know. So this is somebody's precious commodity. So I had taken it and I had put it on the whiteboard, there's a cork board next to it.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, is this yours? And so I put it on there and, it was at the beginning. So January-ish is when I found it. And it was around March. So I just turned 21 at the time when I had found it. All of our students got sent home on my birthday, actually. So I just found the ring months ago. And it was not even a few days later when we were getting sent home that I was like, all right, Lord, I'm taking this. Like, this is a gift from you to me, I feel.
That is not a coincidence, Christina. Here's the thing. God tested you by seeing if you would pocket it or if you'd say, hey, whose is this? But your observance of that item was not a coincidence. It was absolute ordained event. And it's not by even accident that I'm here to remind you. The Lord kept showing me three times. Every time you said the word engagement. So our very conversation is sealing the deal that you are married to him first. And here's the thing. You said something to Rob and I, because we heard it as married men. You said something not almost, but most girls make their husband everything. And that is a major problem, Christina. Rob and I know if our wives look at us as everything, Rob, I'm looking at you directly in your eyeballs right now. You know this. If our wives begin to make us everything, that is a problem. That is a big problem because we cannot be everything. I've been married for 28 years this coming September. Thank you, Jesus, that my wife is finding out very, very much so. She needs Jesus to be her everything. When we were first married, we were kind of under this whole, like, our church didn't really raise girls to understand that there was a intimacy that they could have with God, and to have anything less is substandard. So I'm really impressed with that story. And I just want to give you permission, because you said a second ago, I really, like, you were like, I really love Kyle. And you were like kind of like embarrassed or ashamed. No. Be proud of the fact that you are so madly in love with Christ first, because Kyle would be getting the worst setup if you were obsessed with him. And I see so many girls on Instagram right now. Oh my gosh. When you were talking about your self-worth, there's so many girls on Instagram that they are told that their worth is only valid if they have this really hot husband and he's rich and they're beautiful and their lips are like the Kardashians and just exploding. Oh my gosh. Come on, society, please help me.
No. Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. And that's one of the things, like, that has been placed on my heart, is ministering to girls who have gone through the same process of I have, of self-worth, of the degradation that I think the enemy wants to put in their life, that they are nothing if a man is not after them. They are nothing if they are not valued by their looks, they are nothing if they are not valued by their accomplishments in life. And I think that's a huge thing, especially in our generation that is all about media, 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 what it looks, you know, shiny and, you know, sparkling, when in fact, people are real. We are real, and the Lord understands who we are.
That's so good. Well, I know we've got about 10 minutes left at least. Can we talk about the environment of Alaska and just like, you know, God brought you up there for a purpose, Rob. You're like a second generation, Rob. You're laying down a second generation path. You're very close friends with a man who's now in heaven, a native who he had wounds from, you know, growing up in that environment and seeing the racism, because there was racism, and then the alcoholism, and then seeing that. What I love about you, Rob, is you are like Norwegian Viking, pale as can be, and your best friend is native, and he's now with the Lord. And to kind of cue our listeners up, your daughter is dating his son. So it's like such a testimony that you are not only there, but you love the people. Some people have this image of like when we're missionaries, we go up there and then I'm the white dude and they're the Mexican guy or the Chinese guy. No, you really love the people. And so much so that your best friend was a tribal leader and his son now is working in your organization. What a beautiful image of how you love the people. Tell our listeners about just how you're combating and how you used EMT skills to actually reach the people. Go ahead.
Yeah, so me and my buddy Sam, we formed Last Frontier Ministries in 2008. Whenever him and his wife moved up here, I'm born and raised here in Alaska, right here in this town that we've got our campus in. But we started going up to the village of Minto in 2009. So shortly after they moved up here, we started going into the village. And at the time, we were going up there every other week for about 3 to 4 days, depending on how long we could last. When we would go up there, we would go door to door. We'd knock on the doors. No, we're not Mormon. but we'd knock on the doors to try to get people to talk to us and whatnot. And nobody would talk to us. And if they did talk to us, it was literally, you know, get the F out of my village, white man. It was not a good scenario. And that's one of the reasons why, like, Sam and I got connected to begin with is, you know, I had a call to the villages in Alaska, but I did not want to go up there alone. And I was actually on my way to Costa Rica. That's a long story. I wasn't even supposed to go to Costa Rica. I was supposed to go to Panama. But I went to Costa Rica with an organization called Teen Mania Ministries. And this whole time, my wife and I had been doing ministry here in Alaska for about 3 or 4 years at the homeless shelter up in Fairbanks, preaching to essentially it was the native women on the women's wing. We were ministering to them because we knew we were supposed to be involved in native ministry here, but it wasn't a safe environment for me to go up to alone in the village. And it wasn't safe for me to take my wife and my two girls up there. And so I was really praying like, God, you have to send me a ministry partner to where Jesus sent people in 2x2.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so while I was in a country I wasn't even supposed to be in, I met a man by the name of Sam Kimmel, and him and his wife were on their way to the Dominican Republic to do full-time ministry in a clinic down there. And at nighttime after the students would go to bed, Sam and I would talk story about, you know, what I wanted to do up here and what they were going to do in the Dominican Republic. And after the trip was over and I was on my way back up to Alaska and Chris and Sam were on their way to Pennsylvania, they called me up and they said, hey, we were praying and God has totally did a 180 in our life. We don't think we're supposed to go to the Dominican Republic anymore. We think that we're supposed to come to Alaska and partner with you guys.
Wow.
And so I said, awesome. Come and visit first and see what it's like in like September, whenever it starts to suck up here. and so they came up, they fell in love with the place, or I should say they felt a confirmation they were supposed to come. And the next year they moved up here. So fast forward, we're in the village and we're sitting there like we're trying to do ministry. Nobody would talk to us. We didn't know why. And we had an older guy. He was actually a Episcopal priest at the time. He sat us down and he explained part of the reason why nobody would talk with us. You see, back in, you know, way back whenever Alaska was purchased from Russia by the United States, they did what they called the Land Settlement Act. So they took all the land and they divided it up between like the Inuits, the Yupik, the Athabascans, you know, the Haida, all the different tribes up here. They divided the land up. Well, way back when that actually started like intertribal conflict, because as a whole, Native people are nomadic people, so they'll go different places during different times of the year for caribou hunting, for, you know, salmon fishing, so on and so forth. So that started some conflict there. And then in 1959, whenever the United States adopted Alaska as the 49th state, the government, in its infinite wisdom, decided it was a really good idea to go into these villages and take the kids from their homes and send them to boarding schools. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, that might not seem like a big deal, but you remember, they're coming from a culture of a village being sent to a white culture, or I should say politically correct, a non-native culture.
Yeah.
It was a white culture.
Yeah.
But they got sent to a boarding school to where they were forbidden to speak their language. You know, I have one friend, actually the friend who was telling me this story, he said whenever he was there, he was in the bathroom singing one of his Athabascan songs, and the dean of the school overheard it. They came in there with another staff member and told him to renounce his language, to renounce his culture, and he wouldn't do it. So they brought a 5-gallon bucket of ammonia and they started dunking his head in it until he renounced it. Jeez. From that day until about 8 or 9 years ago, whenever Simon and I were up there, he had never spoken his native tongue since that day. And now, like, unfortunately, he's lost his language. He doesn't even know how to fully speak his language. And that was his mother tongue. Yeah. And so, you know, here you fast forward, you know, 65 years or 60 years, look at what's happened. Also during that time, right after those kids got pulled out of the boarding or put in the boarding schools, Vietnam was going on. So all the students that I know of anyways, now I'm not saying this as a blanket statement, this is just my experience. Every Native male that I know that is Vietnam age has went and served in Vietnam. And so you take a kid out of their home, put them in a boarding school, take them out of a boarding school, put them in Vietnam, and then have them go back to their village. The people in the village don't know how to, they don't know how to deal with it. They don't know how to counsel them. They've never even seen, a lot of them never even seen really big cities, much less the jungles of Vietnam. And so ultimately what ended up happening was, is there was this cycle that happened. But during that time from when they were pulled out of their homes and put into boarding schools, you have to remember school starts like at the end of August-ish, and then it goes until the end of May-ish, you know, maybe into the first part of June, maybe second week of May, but you get the point. During that time, that's whenever moose and caribou hunting is. That's up north. That's whenever whaling is. That's whenever trapping season happens, everything else. So you take a young male specifically out of their home and you take them away from their culture, everything else, and you only send them back for the summer months. Their dad sometimes gets this mentality of, well, I'm feeding you for this time, but you haven't helped us get any of the food. And so there was this separation that happened with the young males with their dads. And as a result, I call it that Vietnam era age people are kind of a fatherless generation. Well, if you've adopted that kind of mindset, if you've adopted that kind of mentality, and then you come back from Vietnam, nobody knows how to deal with you, so they turn to drugs and alcohol, then there's this cycle of abuse that continues to happen. You know, we pride ourselves in a joking way. You know, Alaska is 3 times the size of Texas, man. Like, Texas is usually the conservative voice in the United States. We're like, we're 3 times the size of Texas. We're proud of that. But what we're not proud of is we're 3 times the size in suicide per capita, three times the rate of sexual abuse, domestic abuse, homicide. Like, we're 3 times the size of all of these negative things that happen. We're not proud of that. Mm-hmm. And the reason why we're 3 times the size is because of the spiritual atmosphere that we have here in Alaska. Alaska has 231 federally recognized villages here in Alaska. Only about 5% of them are accessible by road, and there's not that many people going into them. And so part of the reason Sam Kimmel and myself with Last Frontier Ministries, as we were going into this village and being shut down time after time after time, not being able to talk with people, God gave us an idea to teach what they call an emergency trauma technician course. See, most of these people in the village are forestry firefighters.
Right.
And if they take this course, they actually get more money.
Yeah, they get paid more, and they are also ready if an emergency happens. You don't have an emergency room nearby. You got to be able to put pressure or a tourniquet or all that stuff in a moment's notice. So this is the gospel. You're making their life better. Continue.
Well, the cool thing about it is my buddy Sam and I, as we put this course out there, again, remember, this is 3 years into it and nobody would talk to us. We were going up there every other week, faithfully. And we put this course out there and 13 people signed up for this class because it was free. And God also told us to do it in the church building because they were uncomfortable with the church building. So we were like, if we can get them there for 40 hours, that's 40 hours that they've spent in the church. Probably more time that they've spent in the church in their entire life.
Come on.
And cutting so as a we serpent. Also Harvest kind of redesigned, yeah, we redesigned the curriculum to where as we were teaching anatomy and physiology, we were actually doing evangelism and talking about how the body is fearfully and wonderfully made by God and how you were knitted together in your mother's womb. Yes. And before you were even in your mother's womb, God knew you and he formed you and he has a plan for your life. And after that 40 hours, we actually had 13 really good friends out of there, and our entire ministry changed after that. Right now, there's not a single home in that village that we can't go to at 2 o'clock in the morning and knock on the door, and they'll answer the door. And even if they don't like us, they'll still help us because they know that our goal is to help the village. Mm-hmm. And so Sam and I, as we were doing this ministry, we're sitting there going, man, there's 231 villages. This is one village. We need to, Jesus said to make disciples, not just to make converts. Yeah. And so we're like, we have a goal, Gabe, not just to do evangelism in Alaska. We have a goal of discipling all of Alaska. Yeah. And part of the way that he has called us to do that is to team up with Youth with a Mission do a YWAM DTS. Ultimately, our goal is that we are actually training young Native Alaska men and women up in the ways of the Lord and the intimacy of the Lord so they can go back in their village and they can make disciples themselves.
That's so good. We're actually right at the very end. So I just see you can replicate what you've done in Minto, teach these young people how to do the same thing. If we can do this, honestly, the landmass is massive over Alaska, but you could reach the whole entire state very quickly with this same model, because if you serve people, then they're going to come to Christ because they're going to see that the word Zoe, the Christ came that we could have life more abundant, and what you provided was a more abundant life. So in the last couple of seconds, can you just hit your Last Frontier Ministries website? People can find you. There's a video there I'd really love people to see.
Yeah. www.lastfrontierministries.com is our ministry's website there. And you can also go to YWAMDENALI.com. And you can, that's where you can go to find the discipleship training school. Again, that's www.YWAM.
Go there now. If you have young people or grandparents, send your young person there for 6 months. Go do this discipleship training school. Watch their lives transform. I'm Pastor Gabe, and thank you so much for being with us. Church of State is brought to you in part by the Constitution Party and Patriot Church. I'm Pastor Gabe Blomgren, and a calm does not suit me.
Welcome to the fire.
MyPillow.com has got more than just pillows. You've got your slippers, your bathrobes. You have towels that actually dry you off, not the kind you buy at Walmart where it's just kind of a slick mess. They have got some of the best products out there. The sheets are absolutely incredible. I think it's 1,000 count. It's the best products you can buy. And the pillows even have silencer technology in it. And so if you need a day where you're just going to scream into your pillow, don't worry. Your neighbors won't hear you.
Why would you want to go to Bed Bath & Beyond? First of all, they're out of business. You want to go support an American-made product, go to MyPillow.com. And then you're also supporting one of the nation's most, I would say, Jesus-filled, and a company that is completely, completely built on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you're getting a 2-for-1 there. You know you've wanted good night's sleep for years. You're tossing, you're turning. Just go now. Go to MyPillow.com. Use promo code Church and State.
CHURCHANDSTATE. That's Church and State. With the rise of the BRICS nations, you've got a lot of nations that are gathering together, and they're all doing a gold-backed currency. The United States is not, and the petrodollar is starting to fail. And my suggestion to all of you would be to get behind gold and silver, because that is the currency that is always going to have value.
I might not be a gold or silver guru, but I want to have something tangible in my hands at the end of the day. So I would definitely recommend every one of you go to BH-PM.com.
All you got to do is look around and see that the price of everything is increasing. Gold and silver is on the rise. It's being artificially suppressed. You want to schedule a consultation right now so that your families don't end up in the breadline and you're saying, please, sir, can I have some more?
Stop waiting. What are you waiting for? 4 years from now, prices are going to be absolutely astronomical. Go to BH-PM.com. Get a consultation now. You definitely want to mention Church and State. It will get you the best prices. It will get you the best consultation advice. Use Church and State when you go to bh-pm.com. You do not want to eat synthetic meat. If you can grow a meat in a lab, if you want to go ahead and have Soylent Green on the table, feel free to eat this garbage that Target's trying to throw out. But if you want actual meat that's been freeze-dried, it's been processed by actual human beings, go to griddownchowdown.com.
Look, the World Economic Forum has declared a war on red meat. They hate the cows. They hate the cow farts. There is supply chain issues. And for me, you can pry my steak from my cold, dead hands.
If you want a meat that's going to last freeze-dried 10 years or more, this is the product you want.
I want all of you to go to griddownchowdown.com. Use the promo code CHURCHANDSTATE. These are fantastic freeze-dried raw beef. The blood is still in it. You just rehydrate it and add it to your favorite meal, and you are ready to go. And remember, the Holy Word of God tells us, for one person has faith to eat all things, while another who is weak eats only vegetables. That's Romans 14:2. The doctor that I recommend for all of your needs is the Underground Clinic doctor, Dr. Troy Spurl.
Because Dr. Troy is the best doctor, bar none.
You know, this is the great thing about officialsignups.com is it's in all 50 states. You don't have to be in Michigan or Minnesota. You can be in Hawaii, you can be in Florida, and you can find a doctor that you can trust. If you are still wearing a mask, if you have rolled up your sleeve and gotten all the jabs and all the boosters, then Official Signups is not for you. You want to go find one of those big pharma doctors that'll give you all the prescriptions you want, and you can live a very sickly life.
Well, if you're looking for a doctor for yourself, or maybe even a doctor for your family, or a doctor who's not going to push vaccines on you, you want to go to officialsignups.com. You for sure need to mention Church and State when you go to officialsignups.com to take part in all the savings, all the great deals for you and your family.
This was sacred to God.
Now is the time to act.
This is exactly why I need some action for my people.
Everybody, it's an honor to be with you.